This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you cooking today? Are you traveling? Are you doing food prep? Maybe you're cleaning. Oh my goodness. If I were hosting, that's what I would be doing. I would be cleaning because I procrastinate and wait until the last second. Instead, I will be among the millions of you traveling. In fact, I'll be leaving my home inside of 4 hours. I'll be hitting the road. So I'm waiting for rush hour to calm down a little bit. Got to pack my cooler, finish throwing my clothes into a bag, take care of the pets. And then I will be driving on no sleep. Don't be like my mom and tell me how dangerous it is. I got it. I know it. But this is what I do. It's either that or have road rage later in far worse traffic. So, you know, I'll get to my destination and sleep then. And I know a lot of you are in similar boats getting ready for either an influx of family and friends and you're hosting, which is awesome, or you're hitting the road. And I know there are weather complications in the majority of the country, whether it's snow, whether it's rain, incredible winds. So winds gusting up near 50 miles per hour is what the forecasts are calling for in New York City. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade could be interrupted or could have to make some on-the-job alterations. And then thunderstorms in many parts of the country as well. So there's a lot of unsettled weather that could make travel complicated or difficult or challenging. It is the most heavily traveled day of the year. How you know you're not alone if you're traveling. It's what we do on Thanksgiving. I'm excited to get to my brother's house and spend time with my nieces. But I also know that holidays can be difficult for people too. If you're not with maybe the people that you most want to be with, I've been in that boat before. So we are here to keep you company. Of course, we'll have football. We'll have the conversation on social media. And then I'll be back on Wednesday night. Nope, I won't be back Wednesday night. I'll be back on Sunday night following week 13 in the NFL. So it's just a couple of quick days where we will not be together. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks for all your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And thank you for the time you spend on our social media, whether you're answering our questions, whether you're checking out our videos, whether you're reading my columns, that all that means a lot to me. I'm thankful for your support, to be sure. So a couple of things on Twitter and on Facebook, we're asking you for your weird, wacky, unique, strange, odd, whatever word you might use, Thanksgiving traditions. What are they? We've had some good ones, some interesting foods, some fun family games, some olive eating contests from one of our callers. Yeah, so we, you know, families, we do weird stuff when we're with our family. So what is your odd or strange Thanksgiving tradition? A-Law Radio on Twitter, and producer Chris is retweeting a bunch of them as well. And then our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. If you have not seen the results of our best team in the NFL poll, you might be surprised to know that 61% of you who responded said Baltimore is the best team in the NFL right now. You could certainly make a case for Baltimore. You could also make a case for the Niners, for the Patriots, maybe the Saints, a couple of Seahawks here and there. But what have you done for me lately? And the Ravens right now on this extended win streak and captivating a lot of people with a lot of attention in that victory on Monday Night Football. Here's the crappy part. I was hoping that Ravens Niners week 13 would be flexed into a national TV game, but there's some weird wacky rules about Thanksgiving and the number of nationally televised games. And so because of that, Ravens Niners remains in the early window on Sunday, and a good portion of America won't have access to the game. That stinks, America, because I would really like all football fans to be able to watch it. Now, I know a lot of people will be traveling home from wherever they were, and so maybe you weren't making plans to watch it, but it's a high-profile game, and yet it will remain a 1 o'clock Baltimore kick, which is 10 o'clock San Francisco time. Just for instance, in New York City, we've got Giants and Jets in that window, which means there will be no Ravens Niners on my TV. Now, a lot of people have Sunday ticket. People like to watch the what they consider the juicy stuff on Red Zone. I actually feel like Red Zone is football on speed. I do not like it. I had it for a couple of years. I don't like it. Makes me feel like I'm missing a whole lot, not catching a whole lot. Plus, you're constantly bouncing around where I feel like my brain is bouncing around inside my head. So I'll be listening to Ravens and Niners on the radio. And then, of course, if you have NFL Network, they very often run highlights in the moments after they happen. So I'll be doing a hodgepodge and then watching other games. And so I know there's a lot of people, if you have a local game in your window, in your city or your region, you may not have Ravens and Niners at the same time. So that is, I think, disappointing for the NFL, but also disappointing for a bunch of football fans who are looking at this game now and thinking, oh, it might be a Super Bowl preview. At the very least, it's a clash of the Titans, to be sure. So that's coming up in week 13. If you hadn't heard, I actually just wrote a CBS Sports Minute about this. Never, ever, ever again tell me that the NFL is unwatchable or that you worry it's in dire straits, because it's not. Just the latest example, Cowboys-Patriots in the rain and the wind with very little offense. In fact, at times you couldn't even see what was happening on the field because the camera lenses were covered with raindrops. That game in which the total score was a combined 24 points, one touchdown. You remember in the second half, there were only two field goals. That was it. It was punt, 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 punt. 30 million viewers. 30 million viewers for Cowboys Patriots in the elements. Amazing. It's the highest watched, the most watched regular season NFL game on any network in 12 years and ties for the highest rated game on Fox going back nearly 25 years. The most watched sporting event since the Super Bowl and the most watched game or the most watched broadcast on TV, game or not, since the Academy Awards in February. So we're talking about a ratings bonanza. You know what that means? It's a happy Thanksgiving indeed for the NFL. And of course, those two teams won't square off in the regular season again for another 4 years. That's one reason, because it's so rare, but also because these are two of the NFL's most popular and polarizing teams, not to mention the high profile that they both have. And so I'm not surprised, but just think about it. Week 12, there's already been a football game with 30 million viewers. Those types of numbers are generally reserved for January. So pretty amazing the way that the ratings continue to skyrocket and soar in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Couple of really cool games on the schedule tomorrow, Thursday. We've got one in the NFC North, and right now, we don't know who's going to be starting for the Detroit Lions. It's an injury to Jeff Driskel that's limited him in practice. Remember, Jeff Driskel is filling in for the injured Matthew Stafford. Well, Matt Patricia actually says he's got volunteers who are willing to run the offense.
So I think we got about 7 quarterbacks currently, 3 on offense and maybe 4 on defense that also go out there, you know, on Fridays and like to show me how far they can throw and how accurate and, you know, how good all that stuff is. So, yeah, we get those tryouts quite a bit.
That's kind of funny. Of course, you know that happens, right? It happens in every sport. In basketball, it's about, hey, coach, look, I can hit this 3-pointer. Maybe you can dial up my number in a game. In baseball, of course, you're always swinging for the fences. It's the BP where you flex your muscles. And Coach Patricia is saying that he routinely gets 7 different guys who want to run the offense because they can throw the ball far downfield. It could end up being David Blau. Right now, we don't know about Jeff Driskel. He's questionable, and it will not be Matt Stafford in the Lions-Bears game coming up tomorrow. Let's see. Other QB news. The Pittsburgh Steelers will not use Mason Rudolph in their rematch with the Browns. So 2 weeks after the brawl, Mason Rudolph, who is right in the center of everything, and by the way, who got fined $50,000 for his role. He did not get suspended, but the Pittsburgh Steelers QB fined $50,000 for his role in that brawl. He will not be starting in the rematch against the Browns.
We met as a staff. We've decided that we're going to start Duck this week. And really, the decision is clear for us and some really clear reasons why. Like I talked about after the game, I thought he provided us a spark.
He definitely did that, Duck being Devlin Hodges. So Duck came in for Mason Rudolph after an interception in the 3rd quarter of their game against Cincinnati. And immediately, well, within 3 snaps, threw a long pass to James Washington, who took it to the house. Now, does that mean Duck is the better quarterback? I don't know. I just know that the Steelers' defense is capable of keeping them in games, and Rudolph was ineffective against the Bengals. So will that change against the Steelers? We'll see. I mean, neither one of them is Ben Roethlisberger, so right now that's why the defense is so important. And I feel like it's important as well to note that there's no Juju Smith-Schuster. There's no James Conner. They've had different guys in and out of the lineup, like Deontay Johnson as well. It's a depleted offensive core, and that contributes to the ineffectiveness of the quarterback. But we'll see. We'll see how Duck performs in week 13. I don't know if you guys...
I expect him to not kill us.
I was even going to set Mike Tomlin up, but I didn't have to. I don't know if you guys heard this. This is classic Mike Tomlin. I hope at some point we have cleaner audio.
I expect him to not kill us.
That's the expectation for Duck, for Devlin Hodges. I expect him to not kill us. I can't help it. Maybe it's just me who finds Mike Tomlin amusing. And I feel like he's edgier this season, too, because of all the adversity that the Steelers have gone through because of the roller coaster ride and everything they've had to deal with over the last few months. He's just, yeah, he's a little more intense. He's a little edgier. I expect him to not kill us.
There's going to be enough pressure on Devlin just performing. So I'm not going to add to it by talking expectations. I expect him to not kill us.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Mike Tomlin, because that certainly makes it a happier Thanksgiving for me. So, yeah, no Larry Ogunjobi. Oh, no, wait. Ogunjobi's back, isn't he? He had a 1-game suspension, so he's back. Ogunjobi returns. No Myles Garrett, no Mason Rudolph, and definitely no Marquise Pouncey for this game in the rematch of the brawl. I don't know if that takes any of the incitement out of it. I highly doubt it. I think there's going to be a lot of anticipation for that game in the AFC North pitting the two rivals. I actually wrote my column kind of in the aftermath of that brawl. So I could have easily written a column about all the things I'm thankful for in the NFL. It's a football column, but all the things I'm thankful for in the NFL this season, that would have been super easy. And yet I didn't. I still had some things to say about the brawl. I still had some things to say about what happened in the wake of the brawl between the Steelers and the Browns. And so it's my atypical column this week, but I hope you'll read it. I know a lot of you have already. I appreciate your feedback. It's on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's also on the top of our Facebook page. And yeah, read it when you have some time and let me know what you think. But it's definitely not what I normally write. So yeah, I just had some things I had to get off my chest. All right, coming up, we've got an upset of epic proportions in college basketball, as well as your phone calls, your Thanksgiving traditions. We're hurtling our way toward the top of the hour. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Jones looking to drive. Bounce pass for Hurt. He nearly lost it. They fight for it on the deck. Stephen F. Austin has it. It's Bain with 2-1 down the center of the lane. He lays it up and in, and the Lumberjacks have pulled the upset. They're going to go to the monitor to see if he got it off before the shot, before the game clock expired. But at the moment, Stephen F. Austin has pulled a shocker at Cameron Indoor Stadium.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Way to go, Lumberjacks. It's a happy Thanksgiving for them as well. What an incredible upset at Cameron Indoor, that hallowed ground for college hoops. Duke was a 27.5-point favorite as the number one team in the land. They had a 15-point cushion in the second half, but the Lumberjacks erased it. And then in overtime, Nathan Bain takes a pass and goes on a loose ball and goes the length of the court nearly and scores off the glass at the buzzer to stun the faithful or the Cameron Crazies. The call with David Shoemate on Learfield ING. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Nathan Bain spoke after the game about his home nation of the Bahamas and how people that he loves, his family, a lot of people that he knows have lost so much because of Hurricane Dorian, and how much it meant to him to be able to have this moment that could kind of lift their spirits and bring them some joy, and that he was thinking about his family and his loved ones that are back in the Bahamas. And also, this is kind of cool, one of the positive uses of social media, because he was doing interviews on TV and because his name and his school were trending on social media, his GoFundMe account for his family in the Bahamas got a ton of donations in the wake of this upset by the Lumberjacks. So that's kind of fun when sports fans put their money where their mouth is. First non-conference loss for the Blue Devils at Cameron Indoor since 2000. A stretch of 150 games. And as you can imagine, this was also the first time the Lumberjacks have ever beaten a number one ranked team. So kind of exciting. They were battling the flu on their team. So in their locker room, they had guys who were sick, and yet they figured it out. And for head coach Kyle Keller, this is a game that also had a significant meaning for him.
I told my son this before the game. He was 10. He was in the locker room, and I lost my mom this summer, and who was the biggest fan I've had my whole life. And I said, hey, she already knows the outcome of this. I said, why don't we just relax and have some fun, because she already knows what's happening. And so I thought about her. My family was here, and, you know, my wife has been our biggest fan and supports these kids, and it's been a lot of fun.
So congratulations to Coach Keller. That Thanksgiving dinner will taste a little better, right? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Earlier on the show, we talked to the TV play-by-play voice of the Dallas Mavericks. So if you missed it, you want to go back and check out the podcast to hear what Mark Folliwell had to say about Luka mania. It's real. Now, despite the fact that they ran into a buzzsaw in the Clippers on Tuesday night, both those teams were riding 5-game win streaks. And for the Mavericks, it's their longest one in years. And it was really good to talk to Mark about Luka, what he's working on to get better. I mean, he's obviously capable of a triple-double every night. What is he working on to get better? How's he handling the attention? How is Kristaps Porzingis fitting in? And also, what's this Luka mania really like? The buzz around the Dallas Mavericks. I think it's a lot of fun. And so it was good to talk to Mark, and we got his opinion on the Clippers as well. They definitely are showing that with Paul George, who right now is shooting the lights out, and with the do-it-all Kawhi Leonard, a guy who could clearly challenge for MVP, when those two guys are on the court and they have the depth of Lou Williams, who I swear is going to win another Sixth Man of the Year award, the defense of all of the guys, not just the starters like Patrick Beverley and Kawhi and PG, but the guys who come off the bench who also care about defense. Doc Rivers says they're all bought in. And then you get their opponents pointing out how, hey, this is a team that could, in fact, be there in the NBA Finals in June.
They kind of showed us the level, you know. They're a championship team. They're looking to win a championship, and they played like it was a playoff game. You know, they played it aggressively and they showed us that, you know, we have to learn how to play these games.
KP, Kristaps Porzingis, echoing something else that Mark said. This game had the intensity and feel of a game in March, with a little bit of that playoff electricity. So check out my conversation with Mark. He's awesome. I know a lot of you in Dallas are familiar with his voice and awesome pipes. But on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com, and you can always hear the show in its entirety without commercials. Hi, boss. 855-212-4227. It's toll-free, brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So we're asking you about your Thanksgiving traditions, if they're weird or wacky or odd or strange, because we all seem to have those. Well, just because that's family, right? Spencer says on Twitter, our favorite is to spend time at the in-laws, but this year, we're flying to Dallas to see the Buffalo Bills in Jerry World. I have not yet been to a game at AT&T Stadium, Jerry World. One of these days, it's on the bucket list, I suppose. This is going to be a really important game for the Bills, of course, because they're trying to catch the Patriots in the AFC East, and they're trying to keep ahead of the other teams as a wild card if they don't win the division title. But in addition to that, the pressure for the Cowboys right now at 6-5, their offense obviously hit the skids against the Patriots. Not that New England's offense was any great shakes, but the weather really having a lot to do with it, the Patriots defense. And while they still have the game lead over the Philadelphia Eagles, all of it is precarious. It's the AFC East drama every year. And now you've got this conversation about Jason Garrett. Can I point this out? Andrew Bogish is here in studio. I think most people have forgotten that through week 12 a year ago, this is exactly where we were in the NFC East. The Cowboys were 6-5. The Eagles were 5-6. Both teams ended up making the playoffs. And this is just, it's typical of the NFC East. This is how it always happens. The Giants stunk. I don't think the Redskins were quite as bad, but they certainly weren't competitive. And so this is where we were.
Yeah, but see, I would spin that from the Cowboy perspective as further proof that Jason Garrett shouldn't be their head coach
anymore.
Well,
yeah, but my point is you can't fire him right now.
Well, no, after the season.
Right, but that's my point, though, is that they still have everything that they want is right in front of them. And they were in the same position last year. They made the playoffs. They won the division. Jerry Jones decided not to fire him, though he obviously doesn't have a contract for next year. So everything they want is still in front of them.
Well, I mean, technically, but are they close to being? Do you think they can win the NFC? Do you think they can get to the Super Bowl?
Yep. Do you get into the tournament, you can get to the Super Bowl.
Do you
yes.
think they're better than 6-5? Are they a better
no,
team?
You
than 6-5?
Are what your record says you are, but I do think they have the potential to play better.
Right,
I think they
okay.
have all the talent in the world.
So they, okay,
so, they're
so
extremely talented.
That's the point. They shouldn't. To me, they shouldn't be 6-5 again.
Well, they are, though, and my point is that they still could win the division, host a playoff game, and end up going on a run. With the talent they have, it's not impossible, and all you have to do is get in. And so, I don't know. I don't think the final chapter is written on Jason Garrett, because if they do get to the NFC Championship or somehow pull this rabbit out of a hat, well, then how do you fire the coach?
Well, of course, but that doesn't seem, if I was a betting man, I'm not betting
Bet your
on
own
that.
Money,
I'm
not mine.
I'm not betting on that happening. I'm betting on them once again finishing far short of where they think they should be, which is in the Super Bowl, And I think it would be time to make a coaching change because I think that they should be better, especially the way the NFC East is. They should be the Saints. The Saints can clinch the NFC South tomorrow night.
So cool.
In November. Maybe not that drastic, but they should be in control of this division because the Eagles are struggling and because the Redskins and the Giants are terrible, and they're not. And I think a large part of the reason for that is because of their head coach.
Yeah, I think it's easy to blame the head coach. I think the players are the ones who go out there and fumble the football or throw a pass behind a wide receiver and it gets picked off. I mean, how is that the coach's fault?
That's not the coach's fault, but the decisions that Jason Garrett makes or the fact that this year they have consistently started poorly, that's on the coach in my mind. The coaches have to be ready to play. To start the game, start the third quarter, the coach needs to have you ready to go. And they are constantly playing from behind. So that's on him. And the decision not to go for the touchdown the fourth quarter on Sunday, that was on him, not on them. So
it was guaranteed that they were going to go for it or that they were going to get the touchdown.
No, but that was their chance.
They can barely move
that
the
was
football.
Their chance. But that's exactly what they should have gone for the touchdown. They were basing their kicking a field goal on getting the ball back and then driving again.
All right, you're ruining my Thanksgiving happiness. Sorry. Yeah.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown. Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown. Southern's helping into the end zone. Touchdown.
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week.
Barber, the setback, and the fullback is Vita Vea from the one. And the ball, play action, bootleg roll pass to Vita Vea. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. The big fella scores his first career touchdown. Oh, boy, what a catch. He was wide open.
Scored?
Yes, you scored.
I thought that was a dream. Nah. I memorize it. I know the calls on offense when I'm in there. And it's just like as defensive linemen, there's like the play, the front, then the play, then the coverage or whatever. So when I'm out there on offense, I'm listening for the whole call, where I gotta line up, what the play is, where they're gonna run it. And the first thing I hear out there was the pass play. And Jameis looked at me and was like, hurry up and get set, Vita. And I was like, oh, damn, here it comes.
I love that you all selected the heftiest player ever to score a touchdown in NFL history, Vita Vea. And no, I'm not sharing his weight with you. You can look it up if you need to know. But what a cool moment for the defensive lineman from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Gene Deckerhoff, with the call on the Bucs radio network. How awesome is that? We may never see it again, but he usually lines up for blocking purposes, and they actually called his number, and he said it was like a dream. That's so cool. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for voting in our TD of the Week poll. It was far closer. In fact, it was really close. There were a couple of other touchdown candidates that were within a few percentage points of Vita Vea. Plus, he has the best name of anyone who was in our poll this week. The overwhelming results, though, for best team in the NFL right now, they kind of blew me away. 61% of you, 60+% because then you have to factor in the Facebook votes as well. More than 60% pointing to the Baltimore Ravens as the best team in the NFL right now. 855-212-4227. We'll get right to your calls here. But of course, Thanksgiving means football. And Thursday, you can spend part of your holiday with the NFL on CBS. It's a huge matchup deep in the heart of Texas. The Bills take their stingy defense to Dallas for a date with Dak. Such alliteration. And the Cowboys. The NFL Today kicks off the festivities at 4 p.m. Eastern. That's 3 p.m. Texas time, 1 p.m. Pacific, only on CBS. Let's talk to Andrew, who's in Cleveland. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Yeah. You may not remember me. I represent a big store where we did the jingle for you some years ago.
Oh yeah, of course. Andrew, yeah. How are you?
Yeah. I'm good. Mike's doing good. He's in Miami. You have to make an appointment with him now.
He's big time, huh?
Yeah. But I wanted to call you and just to say thank you, because you did have a part of the springboard in him to get where he is now.
Aww.
So any Grammy nominations come up, we're going to send you some tickets.
Well, that'll be fun. So we haven't played this in a while, but we'll have to do this pretty quick sometime. If you guys can find it, I would love to play it again before we hit the top of the hour. This is our after hours rap that you guys put together for us. It was awesome. So we haven't used it in a while. We've got different personnel now, but it would be fun to bring it out right before we hit I hit my Thanksgiving break. But Andrew, that's great. Tell Mike hello, and thank you so much for being part of that piece of After Hours history.
Yes, and we want to thank you for letting us put it together. Thank you so much, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Of course. Happy Thanksgiving. Good to talk to you. You let me know if you find that it's the After Hours rap. It should be in there somewhere, but I don't know where Isaac would have put it. Let's talk to Ingrid, who's in Arkansas. Ingrid, welcome to After Hours.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to call you, Amy, and tell you how much I enjoy your program, how you lift my spirits.
Oh, good.
Happy, bubbly every evening. I just got on to the and also the men's programs, all of them are like that too. They're happy, they're informative, they lift your spirits. And so anyway, for Thanksgiving, now my granddaughter, she was born on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh.
16 years ago.
Aww.
So I always thought her birthday was on Thanksgiving, but you know, it's different dates. So tomorrow's her birthday. So I woke up and I turned your program on, and then I made some flowers and some balloons and sent her a text and say happy birthday.
Perfect.
And the Thanksgiving traditions. Now I'm 72 and most of my family is gone, you know, so I have my daughter, my granddaughter, and my son-in-law, and they don't want to move to Arkansas. So, over the years, you know, our main tradition was my sister, my middle sister, all she wanted was that whole family to be there every Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. She wanted everybody there.
That's nice.
And that was the only tradition we had.
Yep.
And one year I had a new boyfriend, and I told her, I said, I'm not coming to Thanksgiving. I'm going to cook for him. You know, we just going to have a dinner. And she just had a fit. And she, the next day she says, well, what did y'all eat? And what?
She was jealous, Ingrid. She was jealous.
And then this is okay. And so we have the traditional. So one year I made this horror. This is so funny. And so my sister, every year she would get cakes and pies from this famous bakery. And because my brother-in-law, he liked cakes, and she'd get the sweet potato pie. So I told her one year, I say, I'm going to bring the sweet potato pies. She said, okay. So I brought some bean pies. Oh my God. My family said, are these sweet potato pies? No, they're bean pies. They had a fit, and we didn't have no sweet potato pies that year.
I would, too. I feel like that's breaking with a pretty steep tradition. I don't know. That's almost grounds for being excommunicated from Thanksgiving, Ingrid.
That was so funny. Aww. And also, I wanted to put this out there. This really upset me the other day. I was listening to one of these programs, you know, on the radio, you know, and I go around, I listen to NPR and country, all of that, you know, just to avoid all this nasty music. And so this guy was saying that his wife was from one country and she liked an oyster dressing, and he was from, you know, he wanted a dressing. And then he says, we end up with nothing. And I said to myself, why does it have to be all or nothing?
That is the extreme, right? Sometimes we can't find a way to compromise. Well, those are fun stories. Ingrid, I appreciate that you listen to the show, and I'm glad that we can make you laugh and smile.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. She says, my family doesn't want to move to Arkansas, but I'm so glad she has her daughter and her granddaughter, and that'll be so sweet. I know how much it means to me when I get a card from my Grammy Helen and she remembers my birthday. Of course, ours is easy because her birthday is the day before mine. All right, so you said you found the rap. This was a phenomenal piece of music production that was written and put together by Andrew and Mike. You just heard Andrew was in Cleveland. They volunteered to do this for us, and we were blown away away by the quality and the caliber of this rap.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, it's the man of the hour, the competition I devour. It's Big Storm, I'm on the mission, chilling with Amy in the After Hours. When I'm on the court, they say he's hot like Okafor. But I'm more like Isaac Feldman, because I'm Lord of the Boards. Or the man on the scene, like my homie Peter Schwartz. Or like Tom, the producer, the head coach of this court.
I wonder if that's the first time Schwartz has ever been called someone's homie.
Back to the topic, because Miss Amy's about to drop it. Play by play, she got the knowledge. Can't no other woman top of the pioneer in this business. Sit back, you're going to witness a woman in her prime who's always swinging for the fence. So sit back and relax and kick up your feet, because you're rocking with Amy Lawrence from 11 to 3. Yeah, N-E-R-D-A-L-E-R-T.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, so good. Now, I know it mentions Peter Schwartz and Tom and Isaac, who are part of the original crew. We've gone through a lot of changes since then, but phenomenal. Isn't that amazing? So, yeah, thanks again to Andrew and Mike. That was it was such a huge surprise, and it made me think someday, maybe next summer we'll do it, a battle of the bands, because there have got to be other talented people out there who can put together music, and whether you're writing it, whether you're producing it, you send it to us, everything digital these days, so it can be here in the snap of a finger. So maybe we'll do a After Hours Battle of the Bands in the summer when it calms down. We love music here, so that would be so much fun. 855-212-4227. Do we have time? I don't think we have time to work in one more call. I'm sorry, we are out of time, and I don't want to cut you off right in the middle of what you were saying. But thank you for all of your calls as well as your tweets. A-Law Radio, I just saw this from Harold. Thanksgiving tradition, my nieces always wear matching adult onesies. That is the great thing about Thanksgiving, right? Especially if you're home or you're with family, you can wear bummy clothes. Now, we actually dress up for Thanksgiving dinner. Don't ask me why. We do not wear sweatpants and sweatshirts to the table. We generally clean up and wear, and sometimes we wear jeans, but a lot of times we'll wear like nice sweaters or nice shirts. We'll take pictures and stuff. But I've never heard of wearing matching adult onesies. That's awesome. There's so much happening over the next few days. So you've got three football games coming up in the NFL on Thursday, but then it's rivalry weekend as well in college football. Of course, lots of college basketball tournaments. So teams traveling and go to exotic places like Maui and New York City. I hope that you have an amazing Thanksgiving with your family, your friends, your food, your fun, your football, if that's part of it as well. I'm not going to get road rage. That's really the goal for these next 7 hours when I'm driving. And I will talk to you Sunday night. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for all your support. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.